Gracious God, thank you for gathering us together in your house, in your community. Open up our ears and our minds and our hearts this evening to hear what it is that you have to share with each one of us. May we each receive whatever it is that we most need from you. In your precious and powerful name, amen. So, I think if you were to ask me what word I most associate with Advent, that word would have to be waiting. And frankly, I think I'm pretty good at waiting. If you don't believe me, you can ask Cheryl. She will testify to this. I regularly practice delayed gratification. I'm the sort of person who wants to get the kitchen all cleaned up before I sit down for dessert. Or as another example, if we get home and there's some mail waiting for us, a package or a letter, in Cheryl's case, she will start opening it practically before she even has her coat off. Whereas I let it linger all evening because I love anticipation. I love the openness of possibilities. So Advent is my kind of season, right? Well, maybe. There's a different kind of waiting that I find a lot harder. And that is waiting in the midst of painful circumstances when we're unsure what's going to happen, and especially, as the kids were emphasizing, how long it is going to take before it's resolved. My sharpest memories of this kind of waiting come from when I was working full-time with Christian Peacemaker teams, especially when I was on project in Palestine. My teammates and I were working in a very rural area, and one of the things that would happen in this area, in the South Hebron Hills, is that soldiers would set up what were called flying checkpoints. In other words, a Jeep would pull up somewhere on the road, and the soldiers would get out of it, and they would set up a temporary checkpoint. And anytime Palestinians were needing to go through this road, the soldiers would be there stopping them, asking them to show their ID. And the thing about flying checkpoints is they're really unpredictable. And so you never know when they're going to appear, or when they do, how long they're going to last. And for us in CPT, one of the things we would do is monitor these flying checkpoints. So when they started, we'd be alerted, and then a couple of us would go out. We would be standing around outside. Of course, they were always outside. So whatever the weather was, and it was usually either really, really hot and dry or really, really cold and windy and maybe damp, and we would be there watching, ready to film if anything bad started happening. And I remember these as just an awful lot of waiting. Waiting outside in the weather, really pretty boring, uncomfortable. And what was so hard was we never knew if it would be just a few minutes or if it would be hours and hours. I think that is some of the hardest waiting that I've ever done in my life. But I am well aware that what I experienced was really just a pale little shadow of the hard, seemingly endless waiting that Palestinians do as they endure military occupation. Waiting to pass through checkpoints, waiting in military detention, often in prison, waiting to receive building permits or travel permits that, frankly, most of the time, are denied. Waiting for the end of this occupation, waiting for recognition of their status as a people, and never knowing what's going to happen or how long is this going to take. And in truth, I think this hard waiting is really much more the kind of waiting that Advent is about. During Advent, we hear many texts from the prophet Isaiah, which reminds us of the ancient people of Judah, who were threatened by the expanding Assyrian Empire, and then later on in the book of Isaiah, taken into exile by the Babylonians, and longing and longing to return home. Advent is also a time when we are anticipating Jesus' birth and reflecting on the Jews of that time who were living under Roman occupation and longing for their Messiah to come. Traditionally, Advent is also a time to meditate on the second coming of Christ and to recall the longing that the persecuted early Christians felt as they would pray, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And they really, really meant it. I think, when I'm honest, I will acknowledge that Advent waiting is not really so much like the Advent calendar kind of waiting, which unfolds quite predictably. There's a numbered window to open each day, and the end of the story is already known. Rather, this is a kind of waiting that is much better symbolized by the question mark. The season of Advent doesn't begin gently. I learned this 20 years ago when I was invited to preach for the very first time on the first Sunday of Advent. And the texts I was given were what are usually the typical first Sunday of Advent texts, which are full of apocalyptic imagery and visions of God's judgment, visions of natural disasters, great storms, the sky getting torn apart, the sun and the moon being darkened. In our text tonight in Matthew, we get some little hints of that as we hear the coming of the Son of Man compared to the flood in the time of Noah, a great storm which came upon people completely unexpectedly and swept them away. And in fact, if we had listened to the entire chapter of Matthew, we would have heard much more apocalyptic imagery. The end times getting signaled by wars and famines and earthquakes. But, wait a minute, this year, one of our lectionary texts was the Isaiah text, and that one is really different, right? This time, we get such a different vision of the days to come and of what it will look like when God appears to judge between the nations. We catch a glimpse of people from all nations in the world headed toward the house of God, streaming toward the mountain of the Lord, and saying to each other, "Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord and learn how to walk in God's ways." Isn't that a lovely vision? And this beautiful verse, which is the favorite of pacifists and nonviolent activists everywhere, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they study war anymore." At first glance, it seems like these are two very different visions. The apocalyptic imagery of great storms and this imagery of people coming together in peace rather than war. However, in either case, one of the things that I've come to learn is that the people who long the most for God to show up are the people who are enduring oppression and suffering, people who are living in desperate circumstances. not necessarily counting down days in a predictable way toward an event that they know will be joyful and celebratory, but rather people who are living through dark times and longing for light, longing for change. Even while they may be unsure when such change will come or if they'll live to see it. And in either case, the central, most persistent question is when? When is this day of change coming? And even more, how long, Lord? What really are you waiting for? I'll admit, 20 years ago, when I first started preaching and first started thinking about Advent, I didn't have as clear a sense of what that meant. But in the decades since, working with CPT, and frankly, just staying alive and seeing what's happening, I've come to a much deeper appreciation of what Advent waiting really means and what it feels like. And these days especially, it seems like those apocalyptic visions, the prophecies of earthquakes and famines and wars and disasters, they feel less and less strange and more familiar. As we hear news of climate change and global warming as well. As we see evidence of growing economic inequalities, abuses of power, we are living in fractious times. And in our personal lives, some of us may likewise be experiencing this kind of challenging waiting. It may show up in moments when we're looking for a job, longing for a life partner, awaiting a medical diagnosis, or maybe starting a new treatment without being sure of the result. The truth is, life is full of this kind of waiting and wondering. We don't know the end of the story or even the next chapter. And much of the time, life is really a lot more like the question mark than it is like the Advent calendar with numbered windows that tell us exactly which door to open when. So the question I'm left with as I reflect on this is, how do we endure this kind of waiting? And the truth is, I don't actually have any good, easy answers for you. But as I told the children, I think the best thing that we can do is to bring our questions to God and bring our questions to each other. I think we need to start by being honest about the questions that we're carrying, about the doubts we may feel, or emotions of anxiety or anger or fear. Church is the place that ought to be safe to bring these kinds of questions, to bring these kinds of feelings. Whatever age we are. We may not be able to answer each other's questions, but I think when the community can offer us a safe space in which to ask these hard, vulnerable questions, that in itself is a kind of answer.